Also,
That's right, Jack.
you can tap it to add green to your mana pool. Hey! It's sort of like a Cathar's Crusade. It's sort of like a Cathar's Crusade for ally decks. Jack! And at least a little bit of. And at least. But here we are. Come on. Get. Where is it? You should go see it. I'm Phil DeLuca, and this is a special Commander focused on Magic spoilers.
Mandarin.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to put a spotlight on MTG spoilers and review them based on their usefulness in EDH. These are short episodes in which we will discuss recent, officially spoiled cards. Remember to check us out on Twitter at CommanderinMTG and on Facebook at CommanderinMTG Podcast, all one word, and let us know if you agree or disagree with our assessments. I'm clearly using the royal, our, and we. The first card I'm going to talk about is Eldrazi Mimic. It's a rare creature, Eldrazi. It requires two generic mana to cast, and it has the rules text. Whenever another colorless creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may have the base power and toughness of Eldrazi Mimic become that creature's power and toughness until end of turn. Obviously, many applications in EDH. This is a pretty good card. It's quasi-vanilla, which I believe R&D calls French vanilla. And it has a lot of uses late in the game. So if you cast it mid-game, and then later on you follow with, say, a Terastodon, and now you've got an 8-8 beater that can swing right away. With the proper equipment, this can be truly, truly intimidating. Our next card is the first card we're talking about today that has the diamond mana symbol in its casting cost. Of course, that means it requires colorless mana in order to cast, and it's Walker of the Wastes. It's an uncommon creature Eldrazi for 4 generic mana and 1 colorless mana. It is a 4/4. It has trample, and Walker of the Wastes gets +1/+1 for each land you control named Wastes. That's pretty decent. In a colorless commander deck, you'll have lots of wastes now, and that means, practically speaking, that this will probably be a 5/5 or a 6/6 with trample for 5 mana in the mid to late game. Our next card is a callback to another card. It's Ruins of Oran Reef. Rare land, Ruins of Oran Reef enters the battlefield tapped. Tap to add 1 colorless mana to your mana pool. Also, tap it to put a +1/+1 counter on target colorless creature that entered the battlefield this turn. That's pretty good. It's not as good as the original card it calls back, Oran Reef the Vastwood, which is a rare land, most recently printed in the Commander 2015 set. Oran Reef the Vastwood enters the battlefield tapped. You can tap it to add green to your mana pool, or you can tap it to put a +1/+1 counter on each green creature that entered the battlefield this turn. This is a wonderful card to use in any sort of green-based token deck. I'm fairly certain that Nate is going to find plenty of uses for Ruins of Oran Reef. The next card is a white card. It's called Munda's Vanguard. For 4 and a white mana, you get a 3/3 creature core knight ally. It has a brand new ability called Cohort. Tap, then tap an untapped ally you control to put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. I think that this card will see use in EDH token decks that use white. As we all know, that's the second most popular color for tokens in Commander. It requires a haste enabler, so maybe it'll be in Boros. Our next card is Immolating Glare. It's an instant, uncommon instant, that costs one and a white, and it's fairly simple. Destroy target attacking creatures. So it's conditional removal, but still inexpensive, even though we tend not to use a lot of one-shot cards, one-use cards. As a combat trick, this has got a place in EDH. The next card is a blue card, Comparative Analysis. Its normal casting cost is 3 and a blue. It's a common instant, but it has Surge. Surge, of course, is an alternate cost you can pay if you've already played a spell this turn or a teammate has played a spell this turn. It's intended for use in Two-Headed Giant. And the Surge cost is 2 and a blue. Target player draws 2 cards. I could see this even in a Nekusar deck, but it's only 2 points of damage at that point, and it gives your opponents 2 cards, so I don't think this will see very much play. I'm including it here because some folks will call it out. The next card is Reckless Bushwhacker. For 2 and a red, you get a creature, Goblin Warrior Ally. It's a 2-1 uncommon card. It has a surge cost of 1 and a red. It has haste, and when Reckless Bushwhacker enters the battlefield, if its surge cost was paid, other creatures you control get +1/+0, and gain haste until end of turn. Well, so Goblin decks just got a little bit better in Commander, didn't they? That should be fun. Anything that will boost the rest of your team is pretty solid, especially in a token strategy. And of course, Goblins have multiple paths to token strategies, with Krenko, of course, being the poster child for it, even Kikijiki, but Kikijiki is kind of specialized, and Zada. If you're playing Zada and you're generating a lot of tokens anyway, you might as well put Reckless Bushwhacker in so you can take advantage of all those freshly generated goblins. The next card is Tyrant of Valakut. It's a dragon, of course. We have to have a dragon. It costs 5 red-red for a 5/4 creature dragon. It has a surge cost of 3 in red-red. It has flying, and when Tyrant of Valakut enters the battlefield, if its surge cost was paid, it deals 3 damage to target creature or player. It's not the sweetest dragon with an enter the battlefield effect, but it does the job. I expect this will see a lot of limited play, and at least a little bit of commander play. Our next card is Glade Heart Cavalry. For 5 and green-green, you get a 6/6 Elf Knight. It's a rare card, but it has this fun ability on it. When Glade Heart Cavalry enters the battlefield, support 6. Support is a new ability word. Support 6 means put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to 6 other target creatures. This next ability isn't part of support. Whenever a creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it dies, you gain 2 life. This is definitely a commander card. There are many ways to abuse this with bounce-to-hand effects or recursion. Think of this in the new Marin, and basically it starts to treat Marin like Mazurek. And in any sort of a sacrifice theme deck, again, speaking to Marin, you'll gain a lot of life for all those creatures with +1/+1 counters. This might have a home in my Marath deck. Fantastic card. Looking forward to playing with that. 7 mana is a bit steep, but the effect is significant. Our next card is our first Planeswalker officially spoiled from this set. It's Nissa, Voice of Zendikar. For only 1 and green-green, you get a 3 loyalty Nissa. Her +1 ability is put a 0/1 green plant creature token onto the battlefield. That's excellent. Works very well with Avenger of Zendikar. I wonder if we'll see Avenger of Zendikar in Oath of the Gatewatch, actually. Because it sure seems like Zendikar needs a vengeance. Her second ability is a -2, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. Yes, please. Her -7 ability is you gain X life and draw X cards, where X is the number of lands you control. That's a very interesting ability. We'll never see the ultimate in most cases, even if you have a doubling season out. She doesn't come out with the ability to ultimate right away. But this is a pretty significant card. That -2 ability is fantastic. I like what they're doing with +1/+1 counters. The first gold card we'll review is Ailey, Eternal Pilgrim. For white and black, or 1 Orzhov, you get a legendary creature, Core Cleric, 2/3, with Death Touch, and one generic mana, sacrifice another creature, you gain life equal to the sacrificed creature's toughness. For one and a white black and sacrifice another creature, exile target non-land permanent. Activate this ability only if you have at least 10 life more than your starting life total. That is a fantastic card. That is excellent in Karlov's 99 and also in Oloro's 99. And Ailey might make an excellent commander by itself. For only 2 mana to cast it, it's incredibly low. And then the value in any sort of a white-black sacrifice deck is not to be underestimated. Of course, you'll play Felidar Sovereign with her, and a number of other cards that take advantage of having a massive life total. We approve. It's also worth noting that this one was spoiled in the Serious Fun column, written by Bruce Richard, who is at ManaBurned on Twitter. So drop him a line, tell him you read it, and thank you once again, Richard. The final card we'll be talking about today is Jori N, Ruin Diver. For one and a blue-red, yes, one and a blue-red, it's an Izzet legendary creature, Merfolk Wizard, 2/3. Very good, hopefully, Ruin Diver means artifacts, right? Wrong! Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, draw a card. Okay, not bad, especially if you can keep your average converted mana cost down. But we were hoping for an artifact-themed Izzet commander. And there are already better card draw commanders. So, we'll have to see. I can see this being maybe a card in the 99, although again, you're going to want to build around that ability. We'll see, maybe I'm underestimating it. It's worth remembering that Jori N, Ruin Diver's ability only triggers on the second spell you cast each turn. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm not going to go through the usual end-of-show outro. Just remember, you can find us at CommanderAndMTG.com. You can also find us on Twitter at CommanderAndMTG and on Facebook as CommanderAndMTG Podcast. If you enjoyed this, let us know. If you disagree with any of my assessments or have cards that you want to highlight that came out either on the 28th or 29th of December, please let me know. And that's... well, I won't steal Sean's line. Bye-bye. Yeah! I suppose we should talk to that part will be edited.